adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Greg and Brett are both here tonight for Bad Religion. I saw Bad Religion last night. Yes. I know Drew didn't. Drew doesn't like to rock. I'm guessing it was a big weenie roast last night at Irvine Meadows. I saw Drew just for a heartbeat somewhere in the afternoon, and I'm guessing you left at some point.
We went into the audience and watched a couple bands, and then when Cypress Hill pulled out that huge bong, I thought it was time to go.
Well, you know, it's funny. I
had a bunch of 11-year-olds.
I spoke to Be Real, and I told him it was the smallest bong I'd ever seen.
How dare he?
Yeah. It's great. It's a great message. So let me kiss a little Bad Religion ass, because Bad Religion was, there was a lot of fresh-faced punk bands out on the stage. I don't mean punk rock, I just mean, you know, wet behind the ears, you know, 23-year-old guys full of piss vinegar, and Bad Religion was coming on in front of the Beastie Boys, and right after... Who are you guys right after?
Velvet Revolver.
Velvet Revolver, which we'll review Velvet Revolver later on. Sort of a super group made up of ex-Guns N' Roses folks and Scott Weiland and stuff. All right, let me just say this about them. Enjoyed watching them. Everyone's got talent. But tell me if you guys notice this sometimes. Like when bands go, you guys are going to love watching us rock for about... 38 minutes. Hey, over here. See how hard I'm rocking? Look at this. I am rocking. Wait, I'm going to do that move where I go over to the bass player and we lean over and we say something. You're not going to know what it is.
I have
and
a
then
word
we laugh
that.
And nod.
I call that rocking too hard.
Yeah. Yes, they're rocking. And like...
Over-rocking.
Yeah. Over-rocking. And like effing or playing pool, it can screw up your game. You know what I mean? Like when your thing is like, I'm gonna kill this. I'm gonna kill this break. You know what I mean? Or I'm gonna f this chick so hard. I'm gonna be the best. I'm gonna go down on her with such vengeance. It's like it always tends to anything. Actually, you couldn't make a stew with that kind of vengeance without
pushing.
Yeah. It's pushing, and a lot of it. And I think a lot of people think. You know, rock is like wrestling or something, where if you just throw yourself into it completely, it's all going to work out, or it couldn't be better than if you won 110%, but sometimes you need to take a breath, yes? Bad Religion, by the way. Now, here's where the ass-kissing part starts. First off, Bad Religion, tight, sounded good. Not just that sort of wall of sound, and not necessarily in a good way where you couldn't really tell the instruments apart, but well-defined, but yet loud, and good harmonies. Band just seemed tight as hell. Have you guys been rehearsing a lot, playing a lot?
We just got back from Europe.
There you go.
We were there for 5 weeks, and took a few days off before we hit the stage last night. So we were in top form.
Yes. Yes, you were.
I appreciate the... I didn't know you were there. So I'm glad that there were some secret observers.
And where were you anyway?
I was sort of in the... What, in the crowd?
Well, I just, you know, you ran by. You had to get your wife in, who I was standing next to at the time when you yelled that.
No, I had to get my buddy in.
All right. And I saw her 45 times. Didn't see you again.
I was
saw Chris, all right, I saw everybody.
I was paying $22.50 for two goddamn beers, by the way. Two beers, $22.50, and then what do you do about tip? Like, part of you is like, well, I would have given the guy $5 if they were $12. Now they're $22.50. I should give him $8, but I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Like, is this going to cost me $30? Like, oh.
They build the tip into the price now, don't they?
Do they?
You hope so.
That's good. That's a good way to think.
That's what I said.
That was my way of, like, all people that die deserve it. Like, are evil, must be doing something wrong. That's a good way to go through life. Yeah. Okay, people that die are bad somehow, and the tip is always built in.
No, it is.
Well, Bad Religion, back to last night. I got to say this, too, that the crowd, which I thought was there were. I thought, well, they're going to want to see the Beastie Boys. They're a young crowd. Didn't look like a Bad Religion crowd. Not all of them. On their feet, doing the hand thing, jump up and down like maniacs. The person to my right, the person to my left, just going nuts. The entire set. And it's not like, Bad Religion's done. Let's all file in and watch the Beastie Boys now. Not at all. Place was packed. Everyone was on their feet. I mean, were you, I don't want to say surprised, but I mean.
You can say surprised.
It went as good as it could have went, right?
We felt it was a very successful show. And, we know that L.A.'s a big, it's our hometown, so...
It's a big college town.
Yeah, it's a big college town.
I mean, Jesus, 19,000 people just every... And I'm telling you, people were attempting to rock during Velvet Revolver, but they were rocking enough for all of us, so we had to just sort of sit back and bask in their rockitude.
The rockness.
But Bad Religion got up there, and pow. Yeah.
It's our hometown.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. I like when people do that.
It's like an Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that.
Well, it was great.
I've run into a few younger folks the last couple of days. Everyone's very interested in hearing Chief Thundercloud.
Really?
I can't remember his name, but it's coming back to me as Chief Thundercloud.
Oh, yeah. I think it may have been Thunder Bear or something.
Thundercloud came to me a couple times.
Well, all right. Well, let's call him Chief Thundercloud. That's my my American Indian gynecologist or psychologist or whatever. Drew translates.
Yeah.
We'll do it later on tonight. All right. What do you got? Oh, let's see. Oh, Greg is a doctor.
Dr. Greg.
Dr. Greg. So we have
Thank
to put our paws together for that.
It's the one place I feel like I can use my my doctor prefix because I don't use it anywhere else.
You know, what? I hate doctors. What what was and what's it in or what's it of?
I'm a doctor of zoology. So
really,
yeah.
And you got any... what do you? So how's that going to?
Not the kind that helps people.
That can come in handy on Loveline. Right?
How would that affect me? I mean, like, what could I use? Like,
it won't affect you. I mean, someday maybe I'll write a book and you'll be browsing through Barnes and Noble or something.
No. Wrong guy.
Okay.
No, I don't look at
I'm sorry that I can't help you.
One of those big buildings that lend them to you again, Drew?
A library.
It doesn't have the word book in it. That's why it's hard to remember.
Can't help you.
What do you do with this zoology degree? I mean, not that you have to do anything with it, but what's the attraction?
For all the, great listening audience out there, I want to advocate that you don't do anything with a degree.
Sure.
If you don't get it as part of a personal quest, there's really no point to getting it.
Right.
Because you ain't going to get a job just because you have a degree. So, I mean...
But unless you're a doctor of medicine.
Well, what would one do with a zoology degree other than teach zoology or work at a zoo?
Do you not find it the case, this may not be true, but that your world perception and the way you think and use information changes as you get higher degrees?
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Okay.
Wow. So it just changed. Drew loves education, everybody.
Yeah, I do.
but here's what I'm saying.
I told Adam, imagine if you got an education. He almost punched me. What do you mean? I'm perfect.
How dare you? All right. I don't know. Now, Drew and I have had this argument many times, which is he always says that that education or that schooling teaches you to think.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Some people. I agree that you know how to think without it.
Yeah.
No, you probably, but, ritual plays a part in life, and going through different degree programs is kind of like, for someone like myself who never had any religious ritual, it changed my worldview each time I got a degree. Mm-hmm. So you have had different experiences yourself. Maybe they're not formal education, but your worldview has changed as well, probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
Through talk radio. Listening to talk radio.
Sure. Yep. I hate people that are different than me more and more as the years wear on. So that's what my education is
very
done.
Open-minded, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. More eventually going to narrow it down to even brown-haired people, which I'm going to have to then kill myself because it'll eventually just be blue-eyed blondes, and since I don't fall under that category. All right, Bad Religion, a new CD is called The Empire Strikes First. We're going to hear something off that in the first hour and then something off that in the second hour. And we'll go to the phones, and we'll speak to Marie, who's 25. Marie?
Hi.
What's happening?
Well, I have no sex drive. I just recently started taking some medication, and it's cut it down to nothing.
What medication?
Well, I was on Celexa, but now I started taking Effexor.
Well, both of those medicines can shut you down pretty good. Actually, yeah. Celexa is usually worse than Effexor.
Yes, I had really bad side effects from the Celexa, like constant headache, like waking up with it and feeling really nauseous.
Yeesh.
And no, you know, sex drive. And I told my doctor that I wanted something, you know, that wouldn't impact my sex drive as much, and she put me on Effexor.
Are you seeing a psychiatrist?
I just started seeing a psychotherapist.
But the one prescribing the medicine is not a psychiatrist.
No, it's my doctor.
Yeah, because nothing could be farther from accurate to put you on Effexor as an attempt to reduce the side effects on sex drive. There really are only three good ones that'll do that. That's Remeron, Wellbutrin, and Cerazone. And Cerazone, they're about to take out off the market, which makes me insane.
Well, I got stock up.
It's a great medication.
Make a run.
Because three people have had a little liver inflammation from it. Take away from the world.
This is my impact on Drew. He's angry at everybody now. Yeah, I know. Pussies and lawyers and
they
publicists.
They keep vodka on the market.
Ruining it for everybody.
Kind of affects the liver.
But, Cindy, yeah. Mary, this is not... Effexor really does shut people down pretty thoroughly. It's a good antidepressant, but what's going on with you? Do you have... The other thing that can happen sometimes if you have a sexual abuse history, you can go from very, very hypersexual to unsexual.
Well, I don't have any abuse that I know of, but I know that I am kind of a hypersexual person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you have a relationship?
No, I've just kind of have a steady partner. Of you know, I just go over to his place when I
friend with benefits.
Yeah.
Why? Why? You don't? He doesn't want a relationship?
No, and I'm not sure that I really want one either.
I believe her.
Well, it's just because
I haven't had a relationship since I was in like 18, 19. So.
How come? Why?
I just can't seem to find any guy that I get along with. Or
well,
that
my concern would be that you'd be bipolar, and I think for you not to be seen by a psychiatrist is probably a bad idea. Once you see the psychotherapist, ask him or her if you maybe ought to see a psychiatrist because there may be something more going on here than just depression.
Well, I went out with, the guy that I went out with in high school, we were together for like 2.5 years. He was bipolar.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I'm bipolar, but I don't know. I was into like self-mutilation and stuff in sixth grade.
Well, that pretty much...
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
One sixth grader doesn't. But
I'd like to see kids get into it about fourth or fifth, but if you got to go as late as sixth, well, so be it. It's a late bloomer.
It does suggest a trauma history, so it's a good thing that you're seeing a psychotherapist.
Let me ask Greg and Brett my hypothetical I was very proud of that I came up with last Thursday. We're trying to figure out percentage of guys.
Uh-oh.
Percentage of guys... Now, really, put on...
It's putting us on the spot.
You're a doctor now, Greg. Put on your thinking cap.
Stay open-minded with that.
Percentage of guys who beat off the night before they go to the electric chair. You're in the joint. You're in the joint.
I think open your mind.
First light. You're going lethal injection, maybe the electric chair.
You know
whatever
this
is it.
You're going to have a big meal.
You have that big
you're
meal.
You're willing to do that.
You want a serious answer?
Yeah.
And we'll give you access to pornography.
No,
you
know,
no.
We don't give you access.
I'm just for the sake of the discussion.
No.
No? All right.
No.
All right.
Because this is
how,
not...
How many people have you asked this
question? This is historically.
Speak
have
of
you done anything?
Going to the gallows or not?
I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
And I would definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
A friend of mine, a guy sits next to me at work, said he would kill himself trying to blow himself. So that's how he would die. And I thought... Well, you know, if you're going to make your move, that's the time to do it. You know what I mean?
I would say, I don't know, maybe 50-50.
Yeah,
I would
that's
say
good.
It's about 50-50.
It's funny.
I thought we were.
I should put that on epitaph.com. We have a poll.
Oh, you do?
Do it.
I could do that for you.
Please. Find out.
Send it to
find
us.
Find out.
That's a good,
it's,
that's a good
it's
one.
It's important.
We were somewhere between 40 and 60. We couldn't quite.
Well, no, you were, yeah, you were up 60, around 60.
You started at 40, then we both came down to 50.
Kimmel was at 70% when I struck him with it.
Speaks volumes.
Yeah. Yeah. I had guys
this
saying,
is a conversation among people who will never be in that position. So,
Kimmel,
God willing. Yeah. The point is it I don't know how we stumbled onto this. I think Jenny McCarthy was on here, but that the notion is it would be a zero. It would be zero for women. We're talking about masturbation.
Oh, it'd be zero
for women. It'd be zero, and women couldn't even understand how a man could even entertain that
Jenny
notion.
Was bewildered by the question, like what?
What?
What are you talking about?
That's
like
a good point.
I gotta get in a tub. I gotta have a candle.
No
what
stress.
Are you even talking about? Huh. Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine the stress of being executed in 9 hours?
Mm.
Yep, but as guys,
like, yeah. How am I going to do my hair?
Yeah, guys are
Hope
thinking
I look skinny.
See, guys, are, but
that's the discussion we got into.
Does this chair make me look fat? I don't know.
Someone brought the religious component in, which was you know, you're going to meet your maker.
Yeah, but the priest's going to come by and exonerate you.
No, really?
Yeah. Right.
Yo, he can scrub you clean. Okay.
Father, I'm not
all
trying
right.
to touch
all
myself
right.
last night. And
yes, most of these guys probably it's the least of their worries.
Really? All right.
Really? Well, most of these guys are pretty religious going to black.
The percentage, yeah. So you say, I mean, historically, last 50 years, 50-50?
Do you think you could find the stats on that?
No.
Probably someone out there who knows.
I suspect the guys keep it to themselves.
I bet.
Don't have a lot of privacy, I bet.
I think what you said about access to pornography is a crucial element here.
I think, yeah.
And but 50 years ago, a guy can't just make up this kind of stuff. They need some visual. Oh. They need some high-tech visuals.
You ever been camping?
Yeah.
Why? Is your car, you ever got a flat by the side of the road?
You watch Gladiator films?
Oh,
seriously, come on, guy can't make it up. Cindy,
I can't.
Hello,
you're 17.
Yes.
What's up?
I had sex for the first time, and I think that I got something.
Mm-hmm. You ever hang around the gymnasium?
What do you got? What do you think you have?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what happened.
What happened?
What's the story?
All right, hold on. We got to talk to someone who's got a pulse. I can't. It'll turn into Quaalude in the ether.
All right, here's the thing. If you think you have a problem, go to Planned Parenthood, go to your doctor, get an exam.
Let's break it down.
There's no way you can know what this
get
is.
Get a hand in now. Come
until
on.
You get an exam, do the culture, find
grab
out.
Grab a knee, gentlemen.
It's important you get it treated and cause infertility if it's one of the usual.
That helmet's not a chair. Grab a knee. Didn't like it when you sat on your helmet. That was a little peewee football thing. You grab a knee. You know, like you sit in Indian style. You take a knee. Take one knee. As if you would take two or three, you know? I guess you could
take
a couple.
Two would be resting. Two would be sitting. They know what you're sitting.
Two is sort of less comfortable than one.
But some guys would sit two and they kind of lean. You know, remember that?
You can't get up from two very quickly.
Yeah.
They want you
straight. Yeah. It's always a grab a knee.
Yeah.
All right. Let's, what?
Anything. Fine. Everything's good.
Everything's good or everything's bad?
No,
let's talk to Stephanie. Stephanie?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, mate.
You're, what?
Yes,
huh?
Mate?
Huh?
Say that again. Yes?
Yes, I am 19.
All right.
Yes,
you're calling from Arkansas?
Yes.
Where are you from originally?
Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Wow, some people have such a thick dialect that it actually sounds like they're foreigners.
Yeah.
I thought she was Australian or something.
I've lived for a couple of years, so I kind of kicked part of the accent.
I should say she said yes, mate, when we started out.
Yeah. All right. What's up?
I am having problems getting aroused with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more.
Huh?
Is he from Arkansas?
Yes.
Are you in love?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just used to have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Why, pray tell? Just turn over the cards and let us in. What happened? What's the deal? Give us some detail.
Was he governor?
Well, I love, you know, having sex with him. And that's not the problem because I have an orgasm every time.
All right.
But he's horny all the time. And I used to be the same way a year ago. And now I'm having problems getting there.
Okay. How long were you as active as he?
A year ago.
For how long, though, was this? For a few weeks or for a couple of years yourself?
For a couple of years myself.
Okay. And that ended a year ago?
It ended about a couple months ago.
And what changed a couple months ago? Do you have to take medication? Has the relationship changed?
No. I mean, our relationship is absolutely wonderful.
You're not on medication?
The only medication I have is birth control.
And is that a new one for you?
Hmm?
A new pill?
No. I've been taking this pill for about 3 years now.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask this. Don't women have a sort of ebb and flow to their sexuality?
Yeah, and the relationship sort of intensity can have that, too.
I catch them in the ebb.
Ebb, yeah.
Yeah, ebb.
Certainly not the flow.
Yeah. And the valley part of the sexuality. But it seems to do this, whereas guys do this and then levels out and then it starts heading out. But it has sort of a predictable arc over the course of, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes women get into these things, and if she's very much in love, I don't know what her number is weekly.
Right. We could find that out, make sure it's not some crazy high number.
Stephanie?
Yes.
How often do you guys have sex?
Currently.
We used to have sex 3 times a day.
Three times a day.
It's your fault for
now
saying currently.
We're lucky if we have it 3 times a week.
All right, 3 times a week is still well above normal. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're just hitting a more natural stride now. There's all kinds of potential explanations. Maybe you're bipolar and you were sort of a manic phase before. Maybe you've got a job now and can't do it 3 times a day because you actually have responsibilities or maybe some stress in your life.
I mean, look.
Look, you're fine. You're fine.
Let's put it this way. Okay,
3 times a week does not get into pathological range.
Let's look at it this way.
3 times a day almost does.
Let's look at it this way. All right, relax over there, Drew. Drew's a man of exquisite passion. And when he hears about kids and their passion problems, he becomes passionate. Engorged with passion. Throbbing passion. Deep throbbing passion. Here's the thing. You can't have sex 3 times a day with your old lady for the rest of your life. It never seems to work. I was skipping rope tonight, getting philosophical, watching the Lakers lose. And I was thinking to myself, well, I'm skipping rope. I skip rope like 20 minutes almost every day. Then I thought, well, if I skip rope 20 minutes every day, then I should be able to do it until I'm 100, because I'll just do it every day. And, I'll never stop. I'll be doing this. I'll be doing it fine. I'll be 80 years old. I'll be skipping rope. And then I thought, it doesn't work that way. And this is the same thing with this, right?
Yeah,
it's just you've been going at it 3 times a day for a couple of years. You're in year number whatever of your relationship. And at a certain point, God intervenes and says, look, your kids will be... Yeah, you'll be doing it 1.8 times a week or twice a week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's weird that it didn't happen sooner.
I have a question about this. Did you guys, in the early days, used to get so many calls from people who thought they didn't have a sex drive? I think it might be because of all the advertising and the drug companies that are telling people they should have this incredible sex drive. And the new, sex enhancement drugs.
We've definitely had more calls. I just thought, this show gets momentum. Certain calls beget certain other same kind of calls.
It seems to be.
And we've gotten lately a bunch of this kind of
stuff.
Well,
it could have to do with the spam also.
It's an interesting, the luncheon meat or the instant?
The junk email.
Oh, junk email.
The junk email.
The
Or the luncheon meat. I'm not a doctor.
It could be a part of the problem.
Because there's probably like phosphates and things in there that can cause difficulty with the small vessels.
Do you eat a lot of spam out in Arkansas?
I think the question is do you eat other things other than spam in Arkansas?
Nasty. I won't eat it.
Stephanie, yes?
I won't eat spam.
Oh, you won't eat spam?
No, it looks like dog food.
All right. Good girl.
I wouldn't even feed it to my dog.
That's fantastic. Thanks, baby doll. What's your dog's name?
I don't have one, but if I had one, I would feed it to my dog.
Well, you got to say hypothetical dog then.
Yeah.
What would the hypothetical dog's name
be? She doesn't. Who picks out a name for their dog that they don't have? Let me say this.
Brings up a dog that she doesn't have.
Well, that's a good point.
Oh, boy.
All right, Drew. Relax. He didn't hang out for your set. I did. So, obviously, it took its toll. Because I got rocked so hard by Bad Religion probably about 24 hours ago that I'm like a bar rag that's been wrung out. I'm looking to get through this show.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to score triple-double here. I just want to, get the ball. I'm going to pass it off. I'm going to do a little blocking out and see if I can make it in the locker room. Because I got rocked that hard, Drew. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you happen to know what the average is for sexual activity?
Week? Yeah. It's about 1.5 times a week.
So this should really...
They're doubling. They're doubling the average.
Yeah. Do you hear that, Stephanie?
She's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, you're horny.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah.
All right. And we got to take a break. Bad Religion's here. I liked Greg's idea, though, about...
Dr. Greg, about
how the media, perhaps, and some of the commercials that are making you think, and making women think like men, because 25 years ago, a woman who did it 3 days a week, she's putting out.
Exactly.
Now she does it 3 days.
Husband's needs.
Oh, my God, is she ever? Yeah. And how? She's a Stepford wife. And now, 3 days a week, what's wrong, sweetie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a chemical imbalance? What's up?
We better not bring this up.
All right. We'll
blow the
yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew. Don't forget about Dr. Drew. We got Dr. Greg here tonight and Brett from Bad Religion. The Empire Strikes First. Name of the CD. Saw the band last night at the Weenie Roast, Irvine Amphitheater. Must have been 18,000 kiddies there. Everybody on their feet doing the hand thing.
Tight. Yeah, well, you said that earlier. What is the hand thing?
I don't know. Everyone was just like, everyone was rocking. Mosh pit got going.
Well,
I bet. Saw a guy in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
It must be nice. You know, I was thinking, too, like, you guys coming off of a European tour and just being razor sharp from playing so many dates in the last few weeks or months, must be a hell of a lot better than having to get it together for the concert and try to get some practice.
Oh, you mean K-Rock's Acoustic Christmas? Usually at Christmas time, right, when we're asked to play that show, we're a little rustier than the Weenie Roast. So the Weenie Roast is usually a better show.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to say that there's one caveat, because the group toured in Europe, but I don't tour with them. And I really only play with the band in L.A. It's not...
So there is a wild card element.
I was the wild card element. I played because it's the hometown show, and it's interesting. I
didn't notice.
Drew is looking at me with
an
astounded look in his eyes.
A couple beats behind almost everything.
Yeah. No. But I mean, it's
you mentioned that to me.
Yeah, it's well known by the Bad Religion fans. I'm a member of the group. I'm a member of the creative team. Mm-hmm. I write and record and produce with the group. Mm-hmm. But when it's time to tour, I have to stay home and run Epitaph, and the group takes on the touring duties. So.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, listen. It's like the main cast of the Pirates of Penzance. They stay at the Amundsen, and then the Broadway. It's the Broadway cast, and then they send
the road cast
to the underlings. They go packing. That's how it goes.
The road tour.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah, the rest of the world gets the. So I was pretty nervous because, going on after...
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't see it from where I was sitting, but I could see it,
No, understood.
Yeah. You did a great job.
Thank you.
There's nothing, didn't miss a beat. Mm. Yeah. Tell you. That band. Very tight. All right. So we're going to hear a song. I've got a question for the band, actually. And then take a couple questions. We'll hear some, but we'll get in this segment. Nick?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yes.
What's up?
I was just wondering, I wanted to know how Bad Religion feels about today's punk rock music and how they feel they've influenced it and stuff.
Well, I guess that's a really tough question. You're not always aware of your own influence in something. But
yeah, I mean, like, some of it's kind of crap, I got to say that. Some of it's not as good as, the older stuff, and it's just not really the same thing anymore. I mean, I feel... It's weird.
Well, I think there's a lot of great stuff out there, and there's some crap out there,
Yeah.
Just like anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not going to say that, the kids nowadays are blah, blah, blah. No way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some great bands nowadays.
Yeah.
What about the fact that...
I can't think of any, but I know... No, just kidding.
The fact that you guys seem to be a little more... Well, first, a little more harmony in your music than a lot of... punk rock stuff that's out there, which is kind of nice. And then the next thing is you guys seem a little tighter and
more musical
and a little more melodic. And there seems to be just a lot of rage, or maybe we're getting past that just pure like just screaming the ass off on stage, kind of just that sort of cathartic, just primal est therapy that was going on about 3 years ago. It was driving me insane. Just I'm the world's biggest badass. I'm just gonna pace the stage and get everyone pissed off. And it's the kind of thing where you go, well, I could do that if I was effed up enough. If I was like mad enough at my parents, I think I could probably pull that one off too.
Yeah, well, me and Greg have always loved harmonies, and I think some of our influences. We weren't necessarily influenced musically by punk bands because when we were 15, there was no punk.
Right.
Punk came when we were about 16. Actually, I'll speak for myself. Greg was 15 when we started the band. I was 17. But, what I'm getting at is when we became aware of music, there was no punk rock, So,
right.
So the groups I grew up on were extremely melodic, like the Beatles and, probably my favorite group ever. And
Beach Boys and that sort
of stuff. Not that they were my generation, but that's what I heard on the radio.
Right.
And we always took songwriting very seriously. To us, the song is the most important thing, the melody and the harmony and the way that the melody is supported is just as appropriate for punk as it is for any other genre of music.
Yeah.
So that's why I personally can't sing that kind of screamo stuff that you were describing a minute ago. I can only sing melody.
I'm looking at your date schedule here, and if you did scream like that, you would blow up somewhere in the middle of July, because there's I don't know how many days there are in July, but they have about 400 dates just in July alone.
Wow.
They're doing an AM show, they got afternoon shows, they have mid, they have a brunch show, and then there's two evening shows. A
couple of bar mitzvahs in there.
Yeah, by the way, Bad Religion, and here's, there's a million tour dates, and the guys are going out on tour the second they leave the studio tonight, so what you can do is you can just go to...
A lot of cities that are hearing this show are going to see Bad Religion in their town.
Yeah, so just go to www.badreligion.com, and I'm guessing they'll have all the tour dates posted on the website. So let's hear a song. How about it, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right. Are you queued up there, Chris? Yeah. This is from The Empire Strikes First, and it's called Let Them Eat War.
the boss's godlike condition. Workhorses park at a stoplight. Seasoned vets with their feet in nets. A stone's throw away from a rock fight. But not tonight. Feed them death. Here comes another ration. Cause they're the finest in the nation. But it's something that the feed them with. It's freedom or it's death.
Religion, everybody.
Thank you, thank you.
I played that one last night.
Thank you very much. You guys are too kind.
Wait a minute, did you guys play Going for a Walk last night?
No, we wanted to, but we only had 40 minutes on stage.
Yeah. I knew there was something missing.
That's all right. I mean, we also didn't play Struck a Nerve, which has been on K-Rock quite a bit recently. It's, you know, it's hard to choose when you've got... We have 240 songs in our repertoire.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's hard to choose which
I'll
ones.
I'll tell you what would help is if you talked to me.
All right. You should have come up before the show, you know.
Yeah, I was just, you know,
you're
I was
a little
in the
busy,
audience. I thought I was kind of doing the going for a walk thing. I kind of...
He wanted to signal us.
Yeah.
I thought it was
sure
a weird dance.
Is that why you were doing the moonwalk out there yeah. in the audience?
I was trying to signal the going for a walk
man.
Thing.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That.
All right. I just wanted to make sure, you know, I wasn't drunk or something. Because I thought, Bad Religion's got to play Going for a Walk, but... That's a good sign. And that's a confident band, by the way. Because they take a song that people love and they go, screw you. We got better songs. And you know what I was thinking about when I was in the shower tonight after I skipped my rope, Drew? I was thinking, if I did one of those, like, a diet pill things where they do before and after, or one of those hair replacement things where they do before and after, I would have the before guy smiling and the after guy looking with kind of a frown. And I would say that's how confident we are in our product. That the skinny guy, the after guy
is
pissed off.
Out.
Yeah, and the before guy is misery. Overcompensating by trying to smile. That's how good this product is. We could afford to F up the before and after facial expressions.
That's a good idea. I love it.
Yeah.
Always against convention.
Yeah, and then, of course, I would point it out that notice he's smiling. That's how confident we are. Yeah, even maybe thumbs up in the before and then looking kind of apologetic in the after.
But his body looks terrific.
Six-pack abs and a full head of hair. That's how good our product is. We don't need some actor pushing our product. The results speak for themselves. All right, Bad Religion in studio today. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Brett and Greg here tonight from Bad Religion, The Empire Strikes First, Name of the CD. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Just talking about the Lakers' big loss again. I'm cool with that. I don't need them to four-peat or whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
And, you know, my whole thing is whoever's got the least rings, I'm all right if they win.
By the way, Detroit looks like a championship team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, they're playing team basketball and all that good stuff. And then they do this, we're just talking about, they do that no team has ever come back after they were down 3-1. Well, but here's the thing. They ran a couple days ago that Phil Jackson is like 43-0 after winning game number one.
Oh, really?
Which he did win. I do believe. Oh, no. Or did he lose game one?
Lost game one.
Lost game one and then won the second game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. Most of the time when you're down 3-1, it's because the other team is better. This could actually happen.
That's right.
I mean, the Lakers are still probably a better team all in all. They're not playing better. But man for man, they might be a better squad. I mean, if anyone in the league can win 3 games straight or at least win 2 and bring it to a 7th game, I would say it's the Lakers.
Maybe it's their age finally getting the better of them.
You said AIDS?
Age.
I heard AIDS.
Age.
I heard
age.
AIDS. I heard AIDS. Okay.
I said AIDS.
I heard you say age. Let's get to the phones, everybody. It'd be nice just to win a couple and be fun to come back to L.A. and have everyone go a little wacky, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Jenna?
Hey.
Hey. You 25?
Yeah, I am.
What's happening? My problem
is that younger guys are the only ones that come on to me, and guys my age are kind of, like, intimidated, and they turn kind of dorky around me.
What does that mean?
Well, because she's so hot by implication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guys my age, they kind of just, if I even flirt with them, they're like, oh, you know, you must get a lot of guys that hit on you, and they say stuff like that, but then they never ask me out.
Well, now, hey,
you're fat.
Why wouldn't an 18-year-old be even more intimidated?
What's that?
Why wouldn't a younger man, male, even be more intimidated?
I don't know. I think that they're more adventurous, maybe.
No. Younger, if a 25-year-old guy is intimidated by a woman, the 18-year-old is going to be worse.
Mm.
More intimidated. Unless, Janet, this is not meant to be harsh, uh-oh, unless you just seem less mature, uh-oh, more like an 18-year-old.
Maybe. I'm not, like, looking to get married and have a bunch of babies and stuff like that. Like,
well, whatever. Yeah. Whether it's that or maybe just more your general demeanor, a 25-year-old may be looking for somebody a little more mature.
Well, first off, our callers put together theories based on about this much lab work. You know, I mean,
this is what my friends say.
This is a guy and a half who was her age who said something like this, and now every guy's that way. Yeah. So,
what do you want?
I just want a guy that's my age who likes the same thing as I like, or maybe even older.
Age is important to you? The same age as you is important?
No, I think it's just the things that I like to go do. Younger guys are usually like working like a part-time job and going to school, and I like to travel and I work full-time, so when I get time off, I like to go do stuff.
Here's the call. She's dying to tell us what she does and what she likes.
Right. No, I'm not. I'm not going to tell you now. No.
Well, don't tell Drew because he's such a Weisenheimer, but tell me, and I won't tell him.
I do, like, hair extensions and stuff like that for photo shoots and styling for magazines, like that.
All right. I see.
Just kind of a stylish kind of girl.
I see. And the extensions, and by the way, I evidently cannot tell when someone has had extensions.
Yeah.
I can't tell. I don't know. I always sit around with a group of people, and they're always like, oh, yeah, so gay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tom Brokaw. Oh, gay. And I go, what? I never heard that. Oh, yeah. I like the guy does that, too. Like, he's got four kids. He's been married for... please. Gay.
Beard.
Come on. Beard. And then there's same way with the tube. Like, they're guys. Oh, horrible rug. You see that rug? I didn't know it. Oh, please. It's ridiculous. Then you feel like an ass because you're like, it's ridiculous, and I didn't even know it was ridiculous. Same way with the extensions, but this is a girl's thing. Oh, yeah. Beyonce, look at total extent. I don't know. Looks okay, right? Oh, please. It's like I'm always the recipient of the please, you gay hair stuff. You didn't know. All right. It's Jenna, yes. Extensions, video shoots. All right, baby. You don't doing a video shoot. Not lots of dudes. 25 plus floating around there, looking to leave town with you.
I have girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're gay.
Oh please. Oh, yeah, I mean yes.
I saw them coming. I saw the extensions and the gay guys.
Anything? Right. You sort of done up yourself? Do you have any plastic surgery or anything like that?
Yeah.
No. I'm all natural.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should go around a place where there are guys that are 25 plus.
Do you think that I need to look like more like serious and mature? And do you think that guys that age want that?
Not all guys. You need to be more guys your that age.
You could lighten up on the kissing potion and stop chewing the gum so feverishly.
Yeah.
I think that'll do it. Yeah.
Thanks.
Put some flats on and work in the word indubitably. Indubitably.
Yeah, I'll
is that
try
the word
that
they would always use in like the sitcoms?
Yeah.
I always like that too. When I like in the sitcom where all I had to do was give you a tip on what this chick was into, and then you could beat her to the punch, and then she would be really into you. Like
she,
Drew, give me a good poet.
Edgar Allan Poe.
She loves Edgar Allan Poe. Here's a copy of The Raven. You just sit there and you read it, and then she comes up to you and goes like, oh, you're into Poe? He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, she starts rubbing your arm, you know? It's like she hated your guts 10 minutes ago, but as it turns out, hey, you're into Poe. And then there's always some correction where it's like, you're reading the book upside down. Then you clear your throat, make a lot of noise. But that's just a way to do it.
Yeah, all women work that way.
She thinks you're a jock. You show her you're an intellectual, and you get her.
Yeah. In a second.
Yeah, yeah. All right. They never do any one where it's like, get her coked up and bang. wine coolers. Juice her up and go. That'll do it. Okay. Let's
take a break.
Oh, let's take a break.
Yeah.
All right. Bad Religion in studio tonight. When we get back, we're going to speak to Leslie.
Yeah. Yes?
Mom just had a baby. They live with her. Mom neglects rest of family. Oh, this is a disaster. Yeah. Missouri. Yeah. Get ready with that hillbilly banjo. There you go. We're hearing a lot more of that after this. Yeah, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Bad Religion here tonight. Brett and Greg, both here representing. Saw Bad Religion last night at the Weenie Roast in Irvine Meadows. And tight. 13-year-old virgin tight this band was, Drew.
Nice.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
No, it's good. Let me tell you what a compliment is. It's what's in the head of the person that's giving it. You know what I'm saying?
No matter how it comes out,
it's what the person intended.
Thank you so much. Even if it sounds
filthy and insulting, even if I worked like the N-word in, it's what I was thinking was good, then you can have no qualms with it.
Well, thank you, then.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I learned something, two things tonight. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. All right. Even though I would have played Going for a Walk, but again,
true.
That confident a band that they can disappoint.
And you know, complimentary that you can bring up things like that.
Yeah.
You're thinking.
I'm thinking
you're
compliment.
Thinking that,
yeah. No, that's compliment.
I understand.
That's compliment.
Yeah, you get it.
Okay.
You're thinking compliment.
All right. Hey, you got 200 hits. What are you going to do? Why play the one Corolla wants to hear? Leslie?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
It's really confusing. I called to try to figure out something that I could do to help my mom to where she doesn't get mad at me even more than she usually does.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Oh, well, we just sold your call and said that your mom is pregnant?
No. She already had the baby about 3 months ago.
Oh, just had baby. That's
right. How old is your mom?
41.
Yeesh.
Yeah, baby, I know.
Baby okay?
Yeah, oh, she's true. Awesome. I mean, she's like more advanced than most babies her age. I mean, right? She's like full...
No, listen, if the baby does not have any genetic issues, and there's all kinds of things that can happen.
No, I mean, she's perfect. She's really good.
The reality is having an older mom is an asset.
Yeah.
For the most part. Although, then again, the 41-year-old that would choose to have kids across 19 years.
Not once
that
smoke pipes, though,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. So what's going on, Leslie? What's the problem?
We'll go outside in their slippers.
Yeah.
Well,
buy lottery tickets. Yes.
My mom, she's really good at, like, having... a boyfriend most of the time.
I see.
And most of the time, you know, they are around her for a while, you know.
Just hang on one second. I'm trying to imagine what that machinery is. You think it's a still in the background?
It's always still. How still?
What
dare
is
you,
that?
Drew?
But listen,
she's working in a rendering plant.
Rendering.
Yes. Where are you working, Leslie?
What room are you in? Yeah.
I work at Long John Silver's. I'm an assistant manager, so I'm here pretty late.
Ah.
You're like the people are doing dishes behind you or something?
No, it's the ice machine.
Ice machine.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's good.
I used to be a salad bar host.
Really?
Where? Did you need a host?
Yeah. It was at a very fancy chain restaurant here in
Sizzler?
Los Angeles called the Chart House.
Chart House.
Oh,
nice.
Nice.
Yeah. I like Chart House, too.
You know, we had to keep the salad bar looking sparkling clean.
Nice.
Yeah.
Every moment.
And we have the volcano cake.
Yeah. Isn't that delicious?
It's very good.
Nice.
I like the beets.
So,
you know, I'm a beet guy.
I feel for you there, wherever you are.
Long John Silver's in Missouri.
In Missouri.
Which I hear is home of the best Long John Silver's in the nation.
Ours is the
meaning,
best.
Meaning to get out
well,
there.
Well, Leslie's particularly is the best.
Do they have salads out there?
They do, but it's deep fried. it's a beer battered and deep fried. It's
spinach deep fried.
Yeah, they take arugula and spinach, cucumber. They dip it in their own savory beer batter sauce, and they deep fry it right next to the cod.
So she's had a baby. She has boyfriends. And what's up?
Okay. Well, the thing is, you know, starting. I kind of wrote all this down while I was on hold, but starting about 2000, my mom has had about 6 different boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, that's a lot. And the thing is that whenever she's with these different guys, you know, whoever they may be, she kind of puts me and my sister to the side, my other younger sister.
All right, so mom has got some issues here. So your mom, for a 40-year-old woman to behave like that is not what you call normal.
We can't say anything to her because if we say something to her, you know, mom, that hurts us. Mom, we don't want you to do that. She's like, well, you're trying to run my life and you need to leave me alone because I'm an adult and I can do whatever I want.
Right.
So, here's the deal. Well, there's 2 ways to approach this, none of which are particularly great, because she won't get help. She won't get treatment, so she's not going to change.
How do you know she's on something?
Not anymore.
I'm not saying she's on drugs.
We say treatment.
What kind of psychotherapy? Treatment? Just a therapist kind of thing.
But I don't know. I thought they outlawed that in Missouri.
They did. Let's say the reason she wouldn't do it. But here's the deal. You can confront her and say, listen, of course you're an adult. You're an adult who happens to be our mother, and your actions harm us and affect us greatly. I doubt she can hear that. So really, your job is to get out of there, have a life, establish a very, very full life for yourself, and get back and be supportive to your mother as a family member, but don't expect to get much from her.
Right.
Let me explain something. As a child, I had to make this tough decision myself. You're like an insurance adjuster. You go out and look at the car. That's what I did with my family. I walked around. I looked at it. I saw the frame was bent. I saw the airbag deployed. I saw the dash cracked and the engine block. One of the freeze plugs popped out and the thing seized up. And
Forget
I said,
it.
It's total.
Yeah.
It's total. And then you could spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of tears fixing it. It's always going to pull a little to the left. The door's really not going to shut right. Or you just say it's totaled, collect your check and move on. And you got to do that. You really do. Now, if she wants to change down the road, that's fantastic. Yeah. And I know you're worried about now your new infant brother or sister. I hope it's a sister.
Mm-hmm.
A sister?
Yeah.
Little, good. Little baby. Yeah.
That's good, because we had a stripper instead of a violent criminal.
Yeah, good.
There's a small
always room for another one of them. You want to fill up the velvet room, or you want to fill up the prison? you know what I mean? You really got to look at it that way.
Those are the choices.
Yeah. Velvet room or prison? Really, we could always use another head in the champagne room upstairs. But the prisons are all full, so let's keep them chicks coming. All right. Leslie, you have a good job. I mean, at 19, to be assistant manager, head of the game. All right?
Right. But see, okay, I'm an assistant manager. I make my own money. I pay my own rent. I have my own car. It's a 2003.
Right.
It's a nice car.
You pay your own rent where? You have an apartment?
I have my own apartment. I actually have 2 houses.
All right, good, great. Good. So what's the problem?
Okay, but the problem is that my mom has not been let off of her for her work release. She can't work. And so I have 2 sisters plus my mom that don't have any place to live if they don't live with me. So my mom's living with me, and now her boyfriend is living with me.
Jeez. All right, well, guess what? You're in charge now.
Really,
you're the parent now. Now, it's unfortunate when a child is parentalized, but she's living with you. Just the way she could demand you live her way under her roof, she got to live your way under your roof, and that's that.
Work release?
Is she doing some drugs?
I don't know how to really word it, but the doctor, she's not able to go back to work yet.
She's psychiatrically disabled.
Yeah. She has chronic back pain?
Well, when she had a C-section when she had the baby, and she's not healing the way that she's supposed to because she's so old.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they won't let her go back to work.
All right. Where does she work, by the way? Competing fish joint?
I'm sorry?
No, another fish joint? Where the competition?
No. But she has an accounting
lobster,
degree.
A Red Schwarza, as my friends call it.
What kind of degree?
A lot of blacks hanging out there now. Let's face it.
What kind of degree? Let's
call a spade a spade.
She has an accounting degree.
I don't mean
accounting
it that way.
Degree.
Accounting
uh-huh.
degree, really. All right. All right. And you got to get her back to work.
You can take on the sisters if you really feel that's
important.
The mom is not the world's greatest parent, as they say.
Drew, did you know only black people go to Red Lobster?
No, I didn't know.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
Well,
I have no idea. I went there. My Jimmy's cousin, Sal, calls it Red Schwarza, you know. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, only blacks go to Red Lobster. I said, are you kidding? Jimmy and I, for on a whim, went to the Red Lobster in Westwood like 2 years ago. Nothing but blacks. They love shrimp. I don't know what happened. It's kept quiet a little bit, but it's only the black community frequents the Red Lobster.
I'm going.
You got to go. Yeah. You check it out, Drew. Yeah. You get your shrimp on,
okay,
or whatever they call it. You can get a lobsterita. By the way, that's a margarita. That it's really a horrible name. It's not
shell?
Made. Yeah, that's the
lobster
problem.
Tail.
It really, you think like briny, you know, fishy kind of lobsterita. That's a margarita, but it's, I'm guessing it tastes like something other than, you know, a crustacean, but it still doesn't conjure up beautiful imagery when you hear a lobsterita. But
no, it sounds like a hooker in Hawaii. Go visit lobsterita.
Yeah, go see lobsterita. She'll get you
She'll
right.
She'll take care of you.
Yeah, you have problems with the old lady? You visit.
And then you go home and you catch crabs. You don't know what happened.
You got crabs from lobsterita. Drew, go into Red Lobster. Check it out.
I'm gone.
And you guys see those commercials like once in a while, like Red Lobster will do it and Long John Silver's will do it. Where they go, we got shrimp. We got bay shrimp.
Yeah,
we got
yeah.
deep fried shrimp.
I like
shrimp. We got jumbo shrimp. Yeah, and yeah. Shrimp bonanza.
For yeah, a good yeah. time. Just
November shrimp month and a boatload of shrimp. And all that's like almost like, yeah, put me down for like five, not 28. Like I don't need 70 kinds. I don't need the deep fried ones. I don't need the tandoori one.
You've
I
never
don't
been
need
to
the popcorn one.
You've never been to those Bubba Gump places.
No, I have not.
Bubba Gump shrimp.
Is that for real? Bubba Gump?
Yeah, yeah. They're great.
Really?
And it's like,
how much?
But yes, I'm telling you, there's 400 different kinds
all right,
of shrimp.
Like, give me like five shrimp and now a steak.
Yeah,
like
no.
I don't want 70 different types of shrimp. It says
we're going above
Cajun. It's crazy.
It is crazy, but it's good.
Slow motion shots of shrimp being piled high or coming, exploding shrimps. Like people are like, you had shrimp. It's like yeah, shrimp. Who announced that we love the shrimp? Maybe there's just a small percentage of Americans like Dr. Drew who eat way more than their like, weight
yeah, yeah,
each year in shrimp.
Are you a big shrimp eater?
Call them prawns.
I'm a big shrimp eater.
Yeah, I love shrimp.
I love shrimp.
I'm like, I just tonight had about 40.
40 shrimp?
I had a whole...
That was on the ride in, too. Yeah.
Did you ever go to Killer Shrimp?
There's a boldness between his legs.
Have you been to the lobster down in Santa Monica?
No.
It's awesome.
Really? Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Got to try the lobsterita over there. Where the hell did you eat 40 shrimp tonight?
No, probably not 40. Probably 15, though.
15?
At a friend's house, they had a bunch of, you know, like a shrimp cocktail shrimp.
Yeah.
A big bowl. And I just couldn't stop.
You went nutty.
Pow, pow, pow.
Because you know it's expensive.
And I'm going to get gout by tomorrow, I'm sure.
On an interesting bad religion note, for a long time, Greg had refused to eat filter feeders of any kind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, you shouldn't eat the raw oysters.
It's just, you can't. You have no idea where these things are coming from, and I'll tell you this for sure, though, they're coming from the intertidal zone of mm-hmm. some polluted coast.
Yeah,
so. But they sure are tasty, though.
Very common, not very common, but it's very easy to get vibrio and hepatitis C from eating the oysters.
Here's the
really?
Thing. Let me tell
no
you.
Idea.
Raw oysters.
Let me say this with the raw oyster, too. I would... You know, people that do it, they crack it open, and they're always like, you squeeze it, you put a little lemon, a little Tabasco, whatever, and then it's the way you ingest it, where you just let it sort of slide down your throat.
No, like I love
like
it,
a,
man.
Like a loogie.
Like I love that.
Like a loogie.
Well, no, like, you know, once in a while you bring that loogie up, but you're in the mall,
right,
and
no,
you
no,
got to
no,
eat it.
Hold on,
you know?
Hold on. You're obviously not a lobster fan.
I mean
an oyster fan.
No. I like a smoked oyster, and I don't mind it like with some pasta.
What about
and stuff,
oyster Rockefeller?
Just the cook, bar, yeah. Just the oyster yeah. bar thing, always drove me nuts. And here's the thing too, as far as Greg brings up with the, you know, hepatitis C and the diseases and all that kind of stuff. I don't enjoy it enough to take a chance on it. I would take a chance on a barbecued spare rib. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If someone said,
really
look, there's
like,
a 50-50 yeah, chance you'll die if you eat this baby back ribs, I'd be like,
but some of us love
right,
oysters,
let's do it.
Though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no,
a lot of
people love it.
Drew, are they aphrodisiacs?
Non-A, non-B, and not just hepatitis C. But
I heard that they're aphrodisiacs.
Don't know.
Well, I have a funny thing to tell you.
I know the sea urchin's supposed to.
I don't understand how people love oysters,
I don't
Fred.
Think they're aphrodisiacs.
I don't want to get in your grill about
no,
this.
No, I love oysters.
People love them.
I love them.
I like raw sea urchin.
Too.
I love oysters.
There's a lot of people that love, like...
You have to eat it three times.
Why?
They love
that because it's something to do with the brain and a new food. But then once you...
You're in.
Once you're in, you're in. And I swear to God, it's like snowboarding. Once you learn to ride it, you can never forget. But it's hard to get that, you know...
The oyster thing.
Oysters are great.
All right.
Yeah. And well, they're not aphrodisiacs.
Do you know all the different types? Can you tell the different kinds and things?
Well, yeah. Hepatitis. Yeah, but all kinds are good. except a bad oyster, which is awful.
Ew. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things that have been proven to be really bad for you that also fit that once you're in motif.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Yeah. Why do I got to break on through to the other side with raw oysters, by the way? I'm happy.
Well, it's worth it. It's good.
Lord knows I could lose a few pounds as it is. I have to get going with an expensive thing that's raw that I guess I swallow.
So ask me how I know they're not aphrodisiacs.
How do you know?
Well, because one night I ate a dozen of them and only eight of them worked.
Where's those claps when we need them?
All right, let's get
the laugh track. Come
let's
on.
Get back right. to the phone. And what is that with the people that eat like you know, like they're on a desert island, like Jimmy likes to say, likes to like pier pylon scrapings, like someone like you took a like Santa Monica pier pylon, you pulled it out of the ocean floor, and you just took a machete and hacked it into a ball.
You're talking about mussels, right?
Just everything, muscles, right? Just all junk that grows in the sea, like how about a nice steak, a swordfish steak, or a piece of red snapper or something like that? I understand that in the lobster and the crab and stuff. Then you start getting down into the real like. This
parasites.
Is the kind of, yeah, you're getting into like the snails
you
and
know,
the,
kosher
the, all that
is,
stuff.
Kosher food is all against all that.
They are.
They don't eat the snails and the things they have to eat. You have to have fins and scales, basically.
That, I'll tell you, the Jews don't make too many great points when it comes to the religion. This is one of them.
Yeah. No, but the problem with the Jews is they won't eat the swine.
Oh, yeah.
So pork chops are good.
Yeah, we got to part ways there.
Yeah.
Nina?
Bacon tastes good.
I'm definitely down with the lounging on Saturday thing, Nina. Too.
You are indeed.
Yeah.
Nina. Caller who goes by Nina.
Yeah,
you are.
Rita?
What's going on?
Nina.
First of all, I just want to say I love listening to you guys. I listen to you guys every night at work.
Thanks.
And my question is, well, about last year in December, I noticed some discharge and painful urination. Mm-hmm. And it went away, but then I was wondering if I had something, would the symptoms go away and I'll still have it, of course, right?
Nina, very interesting question. And to answer that fully, it'd be best if I consulted.
Oh.
Okay.
Chief Thunder Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chief Thunder Bear is very, very helpful about things. That he's a
gynecologist, registered gynecologist, board certified gynecologist.
But he takes a sort of holistic approach.
Yeah. But he only speaks in the Chippewa, the Iroquois. What the hell?
Choctaw. And no English.
No.
But he speaks. But he has a very spiritual orientation.
Well, but you speak Choctaw,
and I can translate. We have a little trouble sometimes, the chief and I, and. So let's add, why don't we bring him on here? I can really use a little information.
Yeah,
hi, Chief.
Hey, Chekawa. Yeah, no, Chekawa.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for blessing the studio.
Hey, Kakaya.
And Chris, you know.
Yeah.
How many times he explained to you? He's going, yeah, sir. Wait, excuse me. Thunder Cloud.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure how to address you. How do you want people to...
Yeah, Kakaya.
Your Highness?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Your cool
highness.
Jacket.
Your Highness. It is pretty cool. How about the headdress? He performs many ceremonies in the headdress.
Cured,
brought back to life. Sees people into the afterlife.
I just like the jacket.
Nina, go ahead and ask your question, he says.
I was wondering if it was chlamydia.
What?
If what is chlamydia?
Excuse me?
What is chlamydia?
If I have it.
Well, no, what? Heck,
based on what? He's not heard your call. He needs to hear your call. Yeah, you need to ask him. Go ahead.
I had symptoms of
chlamydia.
Okay, don't take all day. He's a little impatient.
Okay. And I had some discharge that was like white and thick. And it was also I had like brown and reddish.
What the fuck? I can't. Oh my god! Okay. Then it won't catch you. No, what? Yeah, beat
sorry.
Off. Hey, yeah.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. Your Highness just retched. I'm sorry.
I know it's a mess.
I'm sorry. Chris, clean it up, please. Please. He begged you for the. Get the coffee to
her. Get you. Get the coffee to her. Why are you wet enough? Yeah. Hey,
with milk. With milk. Real milk. Real milk. Real milk. Not that white stuff. Not that powdered stuff. He hates that.
Yeah, no.
He hates it. Hates it.
Yeah, anyway. Hey, Nina.
Nina. Thick discharge. and is it chlamydia? Okay, so what the chief said basically is.
Wasn't it a cat? Getting in a chicken. Oh, hey. Hey, oh, no,
right. I'm sorry, Your Highness. What Your Highness said, what His Highness said. was that this needs to be checked out. And even in from his cultural orientation, this is something that they would send off for culture and do an exam and have to see a doctor or shaman in his case. You can see a shaman if you wish, but I think a gynecologist, which your Highness, yes, had the training in that. And once they examine you, and I understand this went away, right, Chief?
Yeah.
Your Highness. And if there was still an infection, they could still detect it.
Okay.
The real concern is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Your Highness.
What? Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, Okay.
He was describing, he was talking to me why he is sort of left speechless. He's afraid he's going to...
Okay.
You're afraid he's going to lose his... Okay, so it could still be... chlamydia can go away and sort of hide up in the tubes and cause infertility. So it actually is a really serious issue that you get this checked out.
Okay?
Yeah, hey.
The fact that it's gone, great. I'm glad it's gone. Not as bad, certainly, as if you still had symptoms.
Yeah, hey.
But to finish up, you do need to get checked out.
Yeah, hey.
As Chief says, please get it checked out.
Yeah, hey.
Please get it checked
out.
Please get it checked out.
Yeah.
Get it checked out.
Hey, can it.
Chris, before the chief leaves, he would like you to go with your, not, a powder, not the powdered stuff. Not the powdered stuff.
Yeah, hey.
He's just, come on, go. Please. He yells about this every time. Why do you... I'm sorry. Yes.
What the...
I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with him. He works in a radio station.
Yeah. All right.
Chief, thank you.
Thank you. Back now. All right. Oh, boy. Chief, Thunderclown? Thunderbear?
Thundercloud, I think he's been renamed.
All right. Well, if the kids want it, that's what they'll get. All right, where are we going?
We're taking a break.
All right, Bad Religion in studio tonight.
Thank you.
We'll hear another song off the Empire Strikes first, and we can also tell you to go to www.badreligion.com if you want to get any tour dates or anything like that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. The very unfinicky Brett and Greg here tonight from Bad Religion. He's no Morris the Cat, this Brett.
No, whatever it is.
Quite brain. The opposite, I assure you.
No finicky.
Yeah.
But has his opinions, nonetheless.
He's a passionate man about food, as you are about the ladies, Drew.
That's right.
You understand that people's passions lies in different fields, yes?
No.
Yes?
It's hard for me to understand that.
All right, everybody, Bad Religion. We're going to hear a little something off their CD sometime during this segment. We'll hop to the phones. And how about the Hives? You check out the Hives last night?
Mm-hmm.
There's something strange, something a little lost in their translation about talking. And, you know, they're talking to the audience a lot about if you should put your hands together for us because we're so great. Okay, so on the count of three, I say we're great, then you say Hives.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, I
kept thinking to myself.
Get to the next song. Like, if you want to do I Hear Irvine Knows How to Rock, so be it. But
you missed us?
Yeah, we have been gone, so have you missed us? Well, make noise as if you had missed us. It's like, first off, if you don't get that raising of the hands or the clapping the first time around, you can't really.
That was another part that was difficult. They kept going.
You must give us a standing ovation now. Like, I'm saying, like, what are you guys doing? Cutting a live record or something? Like, what's going on? Just play the goddamn rock, would you?
Yeah.
It was, I think somebody must have told him, like are they Swedish? Or
Swedish, yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, you guys are the coldest culture in the world. Here's the way to warm yourself up and endear yourself to American audience. You got to talk to them. And they're like a cocky, brash types, you know.
I kept thinking to myself. Because
they didn't own it.
I kept talking to myself, they must usually play in a different kind of, like a room, a small room or something that maybe, we used to respond.
Maybe that's it.
And it just, with 20,000 people in an amphitheater, didn't translate.
Who here would like to see us play more of our great music? Who? I can't hear you.
Oh, you, Jim, over there? Okay.
It's like, yeah, all right. I'd like... All right, let's play now. Man. Let's get to the next song.
You guys are cracking me up.
It was, I mean, I don't know if you guys were, if you're backstage, let's see, during that or, but it was strange. It was sort of, it was cute in its own way, but it, after about the fifth time, I felt uncomfortable.
And my kids got a picture with them. The guy, the lead singer is like 6'4".
Oh, really?
Very tall guy.
He's rangy.
Yeah.
Pele.
Pele?
Yeah, Pele. No, not Pele.
Pele.
The famous soccer player.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, he cannot... no one can pronounce his name. It's like, I, on the count of three, you say you love Pele Gergenstugel. Everyone's like, who? Like, nobody could pronounce the guy's name. All right. No. Oh, they were enjoyable. Yeah. I just I found a strange
moment,
a strange
series of moments.
Well, series of moments, yes. Bad Religion did not fall into that trap. No. By the way, they went out there, they rocked, and then they went home. That's what they do. All right, who are we talking to, Drew? Yes, Anderson.
Remember last summer when Bad Religion was up there and the set went out, but they just kept playing.
Oh
yeah, front of house went out.
Yeah. And they just kept playing. And so many other bands would just, like, drop their mics and go, screw it, we're out of here. But they just stuck with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know the front of house was
out. That's because we were... if we would have known that the front of house went out, See, we have a very small crew. We don't even have enough guys traveling with us to, like, give us signals of how the show is going. Right. So we keep ourselves in the dark, and we just...
You mean the big speakers went out, the big...
Yeah, the front speakers went out. And actually, we did know, but, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to keep rocking.
Yeah.
That's right.
You have to act as if.
You got to take it to the next level, Drew.
Act as if.
Right.
It's an inward journey. Fun. Every performance, inward journey.
I'm looking to take my game to the next level, but it's down. That's what people don't know.
Well, that's the, you know what that's I mean? Generally where
the,
you treat
the next one beneath the one I'm on.
You're very committed to
that. And I don't say it. I'm just going, hey, I'm taking my game to the next level. They don't
you're going to let your actions speak
for
itself.
It's the one I was on before this level.
Yeah, you let your actions
going back
speak.
Down.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
That would be a good New Year's resolution, actually. Yeah. One that's attainable.
Right. I'm taking it to the next lower level. Yeah. Let's talk to Mike. You want to talk to Mike?
Yeah.
No, he's 22. Thus. Mike? Yeah, hey. That's the sticker, but you put it over the name. You know.
Okay.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
I got a little situation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to summarize it as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I met my current wife when I was 15. She was 19. She was totally ready to, like, start a life and stuff.
Say
and
that again.
15.
And you were 19?
No. I was
19.
And you were 15.
That's right.
And she was already a nurse and had began her career and everything, and I was a freshman in high school. And anyways, I was very much wanting to kind of be a big kid and be an adult and everything else, so I kind of dove into it head first.
So you were, like, in the 10th grade and dating someone who was a nurse?
Yes.
Wow.
And anyway, so kind of went through life. Turned 18, we went and bought a house together, mm-hmm. hadn't gotten married yet,
yeah.
Bought a house, la-ti-da, I was graduating high school and my house was already being built, so I thought I was just, you know,
wow.
topping
having
out.
A, having a house built from the ground up?
Yes, totally.
What was your
at 18?
Yeah, what were you running away from?
I don't know, that's the thing. My parents, I kind of grew up kind of on the poor side. We six people in a two-bedroom trailer and everything else, and I was always very dedicated to, you know what, I'm going to work hard.
I don't know what you're running away from then.
Just that. I didn't want to have that kind of lifestyle.
Yes, got it. God.
And so
nurses are crazy, though. So
yeah, totally. Yeah, we'll get to that part. So, anyways, bought the house, continuing through life. I went to culinary school, became a chef, all that good stuff. My wife got pregnant. It was planned. It wasn't just an unexpected thing. When I was like, I don't know, just 20 years old or just 21 years old, and through that, in being a chef, I kind of met other people through the culinary industry and all that stuff. And
started dating other people or seeing other
people? Well, met this other girl. And previous to that, I'd never really had any situations that had came up where, you know, I felt like I had any feelings towards anybody or anything like
that. He's an alcoholic?
Who's that?
Nothing. Keep going. Keep going.
All right.
Keep going.
No, by the way, chef, good...
yeah.
Good poontang gig.
Good
stuff. Real good. Better than people know.
So this chick, anyways, going to the bar after work. The wife's, you know, at home. Really get to like this girl. It goes for like 6 months. End up kissing her one night at a bar, drunk, la-ti-da.
Well, hold on a second. Does she work at the place with you?
Yeah. Yes, right. This girl does.
She's also in school with you?
Yeah. No.
No, he's working as
yes,
a chef,
working,
and
she works
at the restaurant.
She's like basically like a server.
Got it.
And, by the way, hold on. We've talked about this many times. The restaurant is like one big F kibbutz that a bunch of people in their early 20s show up to. Everyone's banging everyone, and if you manage a restaurant, you're in for it. And if you like the blacktail, you do the Red Schwarze.
What do you think happened to Dr. Greg at the Chart House?
Yeah.
Oh, salad bar host. Stay away from it.
Salad bar host.
We are so far down on the totem pole, you don't get anything.
Not.
We were below busboy, okay?
Yeah.
You got to graduate to busboy.
Wow.
So you're
wow.
talking about the upper stratosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Busboys would walk over, grab a handful of garbanzo beans, throw them on the ground, and yell to Greg to pick them up now.
And each restaurant is like a little
that's about right.
Civilization.
Broken English. Yeah, it is. And if you manage a restaurant...
You're king. You're pharaoh.
And you got a bunch of 19 and 20-year-old hot college student chicks who want the hostess gig, who want the weekend action where it's busy and don't want the weekday shift or whatever, and you're in charge of everyone's schedule, and they're all looking up to you. They're all your daddy. And most of them, all right, here's what it is. I got to manage a restaurant. First off, they're hot. Otherwise, they don't get to be a hostess at your hot restaurant because, let's face it, when's the last time you saw a chunky hostess with a bad orthodonture? I mean, it doesn't happen. They're hot, and they're from like out of state. They're from Texas. They're out here. They want to be an actress / model. Mattress, I think that's the model/actress term we came up with. They're doing a little college. They get a little money, a little scratch every once in a while. But really, you're a few years older than they are, and you're making their schedule, and you'll do for now. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's just going at each other. And everyone's kind of good looking.
Mm-hmm. And young.
And young.
And this.
And I'm coke.
And the bar. We'll hit the bar after. After closing, we're going to have a few cocktails. I mean, what else? And no one's going home. Their parents are in Austin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's ask Mike if you've painted an accurate picture of his situation.
Mike?
I have never heard a more true description of the kitchen situation.
That is the effing kibbutz is effing kibbutz.
Gotta get into that
on
kitchen.
Point.
Yeah.
But, okay, so in any case, I end up kissing
her. So you kissed her, yeah.
Yes, I have a guilty conscience by nature, and being that my wife was at home pregnant, I wasn't exactly proud of what I did.
You told her.
I come up with the bright idea that I should talk to my wife about this and say, I feel like there's some problems in the marriage. I feel like we could use some work in these areas. This is what's happened. I don't want it to progress any further. Let's work on it. She didn't quite take it that well.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Mike, in your own effed up way. Do you think you were trying to get out there? Like, do you think, like, I'm going to blow this thing up? Like, I'm going to get fired of a job. I'm going to pretend like I want the job, but I'm going to go in and tell my boss a few things I did and see if he S-cans me and I can go home.
Well, I guess, yeah. If I'm being honest, that was... something that was there, something that was present.
Right.
Because I've been with the same girl since
This is why you don't do this.
Yeah.
But
why normal post wouldn't tell her.
All right. So So
not at this. Not what
now what happens? So you tell her, it blows up.
It blows up, turns into a big fiasco. I get kicked out of the house, obviously. It happens like three times. We go to the marriage counseling. The lady at the marriage counseling is really, I was amazed that she could even call herself anything near a counselor, because she did absolutely nothing. We fought the entire time we were at the marriage counseling. We went there for three different sessions, and every time it was just negative. It was me talking about all the things that bothered me with our marriage.
Did you screw around with that girl more than once, did you say?
Yes, well, when... it had kind of gone on for a few months, and then me and the wife, like, officially separated, and I went and got the divorce papers and everything else, and I decided to try and go ahead and, like, pursue this thing with this other chick to see if it meant anything, if it was
real. Right, right.
It turned to crap, and, like, immediately, you know, week or two later, blah, 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 that was fine.
All right,
stayed
so
away
now
from
what?
My wife for, like, another month and a half. And then went back and was like, okay, I'm going to dedicate myself to this because I've already, you know, my son has been born now and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have responsibilities.
Yeah.
So go back home. The wife begins to kind of fall into the pit of taking pills. She's a nurse. She has easy access to them.
Yeah.
We had done them recreationally, occasionally, every once in a while. But, I mean, Mike, literally, yeah. I was taking two or three.
Mike's
an alcoholic. All right. You're an alcoholic. Drew decided you're an alcoholic probably about 45 minutes ago, actually.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what's going on other than, you can take the wine out of the trash, but you can't take the trash out of the man.
Word.
Or something. I don't know what it is, but this is that trailer coming back to haunt you. You know, you've been working dancing.
Also, yeah, you're a dancer. Your dad and mom must have been an alcoholic, or both of them alcoholics.
Well, my dad was kind of on the verge.
No, it's not
on
the verge. Like, it's not. There's no such thing as on the verge.
Why not? I've been on the verge.
Well, he wasn't raging.
That's what I'm saying. There's no such thing as on the verge.
Oh, good.
He's not an alcoholic. He was very angry when he...
I understand. Look, you raised an alcoholic family system. That's going to have a lot of impact on your relationships. You came from squalor. You wanted to run away from that. You ran into the arms of a highly codependent individual. No doubt her family were addict alcoholics as well. Things unraveled because the relationship was so unstable. And obviously, you know, you got started when you were 15. Just the worst possible circumstance for a sustainable relationship. It falls apart predictably, but now both of your addictive pathologies and codependencies are really emerging. She's a nurse. She's got to go to nursing diversion. She has got to go to nursing diversion. Healthcare professionals that do not do diversion do not get well. It's very simple. It's 85-90%
success. Why do they call it diversion?
It's just the name of it.
They don't want to call it rehab?
No.
Scares the patients?
No, they go to rehab as part of diversion. Diversion is just a organized, structured supervision with nurses, in the case of doctors, amongst doctors, where they go together and are, you know, stay together, have groups together, where they have similar social and licensing issues and you know, stressors and things, and the same access to drugs and alcohol. And they're monitored by licensing agencies and whatnot. And if they don't go to diversion, they don't get well. It's less than 5%.
Female nurses are all pretty nuts. What about male nurses?
I've not done a study on it.
Not as nutty.
Although
the thin ones are. Yes,
thin male nurses.
You want a heavy set man of color to be a nurse, and then he'll be sane.
Okay.
That's the sanest guy.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm listening.
The spindly white guys, they're nutty.
I had a male nurse just a few days ago because I had to give some blood, and it didn't feel good, man. He was a heavy set, you know, kind of middle 20s guy.
Right.
Come in this big blue weird outfit.
Did he seem sane, though?
No, of course not.
Far from it.
But I got to say, he did a good job of taking blood. But it just doesn't, it's not as comforting
right.
as a more traditional
female
nurse.
It's weird the dude handling you is weird.
Coming
There's
in
some great male nurses out there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the hairy arms. The hairy arms.
Yeah, gently stroking your arm. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. Trying to find that vein.
But he was a good phlebotomist.
you guys are not comfortable with your sexuality. That's what boils down.
That's not it. I'm perfectly comfortable.
I'm pretty comfortable.
No, Greg is, but I mean these other two guys.
The thing that's weird, though, is I kind of like a guy cutting my hair.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. Like, if you get a massage, you want a massage from a woman.
Mm.
Okay.
Guys have good hands.
Well, that's true. All right, that's
I recently had a good male masseur who I rehired.
His name
has been touched like that.
He has to be called Paulie.
The
male masseuse.
Really?
Yeah, it's a necessary element.
And have some sort of accent?
Yeah. United States, regional accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you don't want a regional one. Or something. No, like no. You want like a thick, you want like a Polish accent. Yeah.
Russian.
All right. Yeah, Russian's nice, too. You want to use something Eastern Bloc.
A lot of nurses, female nurses, have pill problems. Is that what we're saying?
No. It's a common problem with doctors and nurses. In fact, I'm giving a talk tomorrow on impaired physicians. I'm preoccupied all about all this stuff. A big deal.
Yeah. Impaired physicians?
Yeah. And the fact is, though, Mike, this is a really serious situation. On behalf of the child, it is critical that you both get treatment. Understand you're motivated. You're open to treatment. But one of the rules we have in my treatment center is that if a woman is ill enough to need inpatient treatment of chemical dependency, the husband's always an alcoholic addict himself. And I've never found that to be not true. I don't know why it's true, but it is true. And that, and the history and your dad being an alcoholic and your history with drugs and alcohol and your behaviors all suggest evolving alcoholism. So you, too, need to participate in her treatment. She needs to go. She needs to go to diversion. She needs complete treatment on behalf of the kid, and you need to participate.
All right. Well, good times.
Good times.
Bad Religion in studio tonight. Oh, we talked so much about diversion, we didn't hear a song. We'll come back and hear a song.
Right, first thing.
After this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Brett and Greg here tonight from Bad Religion. Empire Strikes First, name of the CD. And always have such a fascinating and stimulating time when Bad Religion's in studio that we get our talk on and we forget to play the songs. And we're going to keep that tradition going tonight by going back to the phones and neglecting.
No.
I like the way Drew pies into it. Come on, you want to hear Bad Religion song,
yeah,
Drew?
Yeah, I do. Come on, break it down.
Hold on. Oh, okay. Do you want to hear Bad Religion song or do you just not want to do radio for 3 minutes?
Well,
okay.
More I want to hear.
Right. I think you gave me your answer.
Yeah.
You gave me your answer. Okay. Yeah. I want to hear Bad Religion song. That's why I stayed to see Bad Religion not play Going for a Walk last night about this time at the Weenie Roast.
We played this tune, though.
Oh, yes,
nice
you did.
There.
Yes, you did. It's called God's Love.
Striking at mental apparitions like a drunk on a vacant street. Silently beset by the hands of time and delicate in its fury. An aberrant crack is skeletons yield to unrelenting gravity. While viruses prop for help as victims who suck up rapidly. Tell me where is the love in a careless creation? When there's no above, there's no justice, just a cause and a cure, and a bounty of suffering. It seems we all endure, and what I'm frightened of is that they call it God. Thank you.
Yeah, Bad Religion, everybody. God's Love. I do remember that one from last night.
A little bit of Bad Religion. Man.
Very nice. The Empire Strikes First, name of the CD. All right, Drew, I feel sorry for Shannon over here.
We are 1 minute talking.
Dad died yesterday.
Shannon?
Hi.
Hey. You're 20?
Yeah.
Dad died of cancer yesterday?
Yeah, I called you guys back about 4 months ago, and I had found out that the doctors had given him 6 months to live.
Right, and we were saying how bad it didn't sound good. I remember
that. Yeah. So he died yesterday.
Yeah, and I just, like, I can't come to terms with it. And I know I've had an hour of sleep in the last 38 hours, so I'm very tired, too. But, like, I just, like, convinced myself that he's sleeping. Mm-hmm. Or that when I come home, he'll, like, be there and he'll be okay. Or, like, mm-hmm. even when I saw his body, I, like, didn't want to get too close because I didn't want to, like, wake him up. Or I just can't accept it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so what? Do you have a religion, by the way?
Yeah, I'm Catholic.
No.
Are they helping you? Is the clergy helping you with this at all?
Well, my dad was seeing one, and he's out of town.
Huh. Wait a minute, your dad?
What?
For last rites and things.
Oh.
Can you maybe contact somebody?
Oh, the guy went out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dad went out of town.
All right, Shannon, here's the deal. We do not, unfortunately, have a lot of time tonight. Can we call you back tomorrow night first thing?
Yeah.
We're going to start out with you, because we want to hear or talk to you a little more about this and get in touch with you. Right now, the only, the sort of the... It almost seems empty to tell you this, but maybe contact the community that's been serving you, whether it's church or medical caretakers. Get back involved with people that have been involved in his case.
Friends, too.
To help you. And friends, keep people around. You need other people. You need support right now. And whether it's from professionals or clergy or friends, get the support. And we will try to be a part of that, and we'll call you back first thing tomorrow.
All right, Drew. Don't screw this one up, too.
What do you mean?
Call her back tomorrow. You always
no
forget.
No kidding. Yeah, I know. We got to do this.
Don't screw it up.
Yeah. Shouldn't you, two of us here.
Shouldn't we remind her, though, that also grief is just a
normal thing?
You've got to feel this and go through it.
It's
everyone is going to.
It's healthy. It's like sweating when you work out.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah. Well, there's the show, everybody. We're running a little late, so we'll hustle up. I thank Greg and Brett for coming in here from Bad Religion.
Thank you for having us once again.
Thank you to Thundercloud. Appreciate his help.
Hey. Empire Strikes First, name of the CD. Go out and get it. I heard many songs off it last night live and really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys. Always a good time.
Thank you.
Come back anytime you like. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
So ask me how I know they're not aphrodisiacs.
How do you know?
Well, because one night I ate a dozen of them and only eight of them worked.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.